Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, here we go. From the HananiahAutos.com studio, time for 2 hours of mayhem. It's Jaguars Monday. Brian Sexton sitting across the table from CBSSports.com senior writer. I got it right this week?
You did.
I tell you, I still type in sports line. It comes up
CBS. That's two in a row. He got it right.
Pete Prisco is here, ladies and gentlemen, fresh from South Florida, where he hosts that other pro football show, right?
Yeah, every Thursday, Sunday.
There you go. And you all know Tony Baselli. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
How are you? Fresh from the practice field at Providence High School.
I'm a little fatigued. Not a lot of sleep last night.
Well, grab some of that water.
I got water.
Are you on Providence's scholarship now, too? Like you used to be here with everything?
No.
You're still here? Yeah. That's a freebie.
No. I put a lot of time in. There's nothing free about it.
All right. So let's give you the big three issues here tonight, the big three. And we'll start with, do you believe in moral victories, right? I mean, what was yesterday all about for this football team? What's your takeaway? Number two, Henny's the guy now, isn't he? And three, so now what? Where's this team look for the final 10 games of this season? Let's start with number one, and that is, do you believe in moral victories of any kind for this football team? And if you do, was yesterday a moral victory for Gus Bradley's football team?
I'm not big on moral victories. You know, it's about wins and losses. But the team got better. I mean, it was, they're going in the right direction. Now, that's not a moral victory. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I guarantee you none of the guys in that locker room related on the line yesterday are saying, oh, wow, we feel better. No, they want to win. And it's all about winning and losing this league. Now, where this team is, it's about getting better in the progress and seeing stuff that you can build on. That's nice. But it's still about wins and losses.
I think it's a victory, not a moral victory.
Really?
Yeah. They lost and they showed improvement. That's a victory.
You know what?
Call like it is.
Right. So you think going 0-16 is
yeah,
the best?
Yeah, no. You're damn right it is.
By the way, you may have to go 0-16 to guarantee yourself the number one pick. With what's going on over in Tampa over there, I think the Giants will end up winning a game here and there. And by the way, I think the Jaguars will too based on what came out of yesterday. And we'll talk about that.
Where is it?
Where are the wins?
It could be Sunday against San Diego.
Oh, I think this team, listen, I think – If they play as hard as they did, I mean, watching it, it was obvious how hard they played. Yeah. And
they get a San Diego team that's coming in
the offensive
after a
Monday
night
game. Can continue to get better. They got to get better in the run game. There's victories on this schedule.
All
for
right, there's not many.
But back to what I said, I see it as a victory, because a lot of people showed up and played hard, like you said. But I don't understand that. Well, you played hard. Well, what the first 4 weeks they didn't.
No, I
play
thought hard. They did. No, I'm saying, but they can. I think they competed. They competed. I think they have every week, but they're getting better now.
Well, the players are getting better.
That's what I'm saying. So it's showing up, and you're getting results.
Right. So that's good.
Yeah.
A lot of the young players showed up, which is good, and they still lost, which is bad for the players on the team, but for the overall health of the franchise, that's good. I was talking to a Brown.
It's just hard as a player to say that. As an ex-player, I'm not a player anymore.
You're not a player, but you're not on the team anymore.
I understand that, but it's hard for me to say losing is good.
Right, and most everything. If I'm fighting you for your bottle of water, you want to win. But for the long-term viability of this franchise, and to have the potential to have the number one overall pick, and you make the call on your quarterback, it's good to lose.
Hey, by the way, let's stop. Pause button real quick. People had a chance to watch Teddy Bridgewater on Thursday night last week, and they got a chance to watch Mariota at Oregon, who both of you guys were raving about last week. It sure seems like Marcus Mariota is now a top five pick if you talk to people who know college football.
If he comes out. He's a redshirt sophomore.
Well, and Bridgewater is too.
Why on God's earth would he stay in?
I wouldn't.
Are you kidding me?
I'd leave. Run.
Run. Mr. Clowney.
Run.
I mean, no.
Run.
And not only is he, I think he's a top five pick. I think he's going to be the number one pick.
Hundley's pretty good at UCLA,
too. Hundley, one of those two.
Yeah, those
They're both big, athletic, good arms, accurate. Now they play in up-tempo spread system, so you got to put the little caution flag up on it. But I think Bridgewater will be okay. I was a little worried about him. I came away from the other night a little concerned. He made a throw into the end zone where he didn't read the safety and lobbed it up. A couple misreads.
He's smart, and he's got a great arm, but he is small.
6'1", 190 is about what I...
But, you know how size doesn't always translate. You know, body style has something. He's very narrow.
He's 190 pounds.
But very narrow in the shoulders.
Who told you that?
That's what I heard. He's 190 pounds.
Yeah, he doesn't... Well, I'll say this.
He's listed at 6'3", 206 for whatever that's worth.
What is Mariota listed at? 6'5"?
6'4", 211.
Yeah, which he looks like.
He is. Mariota looks big.
And Hundley's about 6'4 and about 225, 230. He's a big kid.
Big kid.
I like Mariota in this off. You know, you'll amend the offense a little bit, but Jed will play with it. Mariota throwing to Blackman, Shorts, and Ace, and then you get a speed back behind him. You know, maybe the kid's sis drunk or something from Baylor. Come on. All of a sudden, you're fast, athletic, and you have a quarterback who's athletic.
355.
I'm rushing it. What do you want?
We got 10 games left.
It don't matter.
You're already picking the roster.
But that's where we're starting. And that is, you know, what's the takeaway from yesterday?
Takeaway is they got better.
Now throw this out there. You know, you say where are the wins on the schedule, and when you go down there and look, and you know you do this every year, and there's two or three that happen in almost everywhere. You get the Chargers this week who are playing a Monday night game on the West Coast against a pretty good Colts team, and then they have to come out here. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at this week and thinking this is a game that the Jaguars could win.
Maybe. And the offensive line, we'll get a better idea. The offensive line for the Chargers isn't very good. It really isn't. Robert Mathis might have a field day tonight. So, yeah, maybe. But this pass rush isn't very good either.
No. No, although they did hit Manning a couple of
times. They did hit him.
Which doesn't happen very often.
But I don't know. It would be a tougher game if it was an East Coast team had gone west to play a Monday night and then come back. This is the Chargers at home, then going, you know what I mean, then going on the road. It's a little different. But, yeah, they're going to win a game or two. Right. They will. They'll win one, being feisty, get a turnover here and there and win a game. Yeah, they'll win a game. And Blackman's a beast.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, that was the next point on the takeaway. When this guy gets on the field, it doesn't matter what his 40 time was in college. All that matters is he competes for everything. Every yard, every pass, every angle. He's fighting for it. And I think it surprised a lot of people. In the 2 weeks he's been in there, he has more catches, more yards, on a higher yard per catch average than any other receiver in the game the last couple of weeks.
I tell you what, the most startling thing to me is the transformation of his body.
Yeah, he looked fat at times last year.
No, he was fat. Yeah. He was fat. And his arms were big, like an offensive lineman almost. Now you look at him.
And he's cut up.
And you can see the quickness and the explosion and out of his cuts and coming across and gets those hands up and grabs that ball out of there. They have a player. And now, remember it used to be, well, maybe Cecil could be. That's the one. Now Cecil's the two. And then Ace will be the three. Although Mike Brown competed for some balls yesterday.
He had one drop, but other than that, he played very well.
So I think they have the makeup.
They got some guys that can play receiver on this ball club. They got to stay healthy.
You get a tight end who actually stays on the field.
Clay Harbor, I'll tell you, Clay Harbor is not a bad vertical threat. I mean, he has some speed. He's not very big, but he can't be a point tight end. I mean, he's not going to line up. But he can be that move H-back type of guy.
But what are the point tight ends anymore? Did you see the kid for the Lions yesterday, the kid from UCLA, Fourier? He comes in, catches three touchdowns. He looks like Jimmy Graham. They 6'6" or whatever. You split him out. The point tight end, you put a sluggo offensive lineman in there and blocking in those situations. I think the point tight end is being phased out a little bit.
No, I disagree. You still need it to run the ball.
Where are they? Who are they?
Well, at the top
they have one here, but that's about it. Heath Miller, but he's a shell of himself now. He's coming off an ACL.
Well, and Kobe Fleener is a guy who can block. Let me restate this. I'm not talking Mercedes Lewis, the sixth offensive lineman type of tight end, but you have to have a guy who can run, block zone,
yeah,
and block power at
you're
the
not,
point. I mean,
you're
even
not
like,
talking about Mark Bruner.
No,
remember, he was like a tackle.
No, I'm talking. Right. But even, I mean, Jimmy Graham can do it. You watch Jimmy Graham; he can get in there. He battles. That's what I'm saying. Just not get pushed back into the backfield.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah,
no, we're saying the same thing.
But how about Harbor?
He's just not big enough.
He doesn't look like it.
But he's a very athletic, good move tight end. He can do a lot of things from that kind of that old H-back position.
Good to have on your roster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, one more takeaway spot from yesterday. How about the secondary and the two safeties in particular? They played better in the first half than they did in the second half when Gus said that there were some plays that they didn't make. And the corners obviously allowed that outside release in cover two that Gus pointed out today. But when you look at this young group in the secondary, that was trial by fire against one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played, and they didn't embarrass themselves at all.
No, and I'll tell you what. I came away, and I went. We watched the game again today. I came away from that game. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and you see those two guys in the back end of your defense, you're set for a long time back there. Because I really like Evans. I really
How did he go in the sixth round?
Oh, but because he didn't make a lot of plays in Florida.
Yeah,
he really
he's
did.
He's big. He's fast. He hits you. I mean.
And what I really – people are going to get mad at me when I say this, but I like when he stood over the running back.
What did I say?
You said the exact – I said
on the radio.
Don't talk. Just turn around and play. And he said, no, I'm all right with you talking.
Because, look, they're not winning that game anyways. If that's a playoff game and you do something stupid like that, it costs you a first down, then you get on him. But I liked it. He came up. He blasted him in the hole. He made a tackle. He stood over, and he kind of half-taunted him. I liked it.
What I said is, listen, I'd rather have guys with some moxie who play on the edge and have to pull them back and teach them when to do it and not to do it than have a bunch of guys who you have to push. Like, come on, get some nastiness about you. Get some edge about you. And he has it.
Did it remind you of anything?
Of who?
You were in Atlanta last year for the Seattle-Atlanta game. Remember how they were
Richard Sherman was
all of them.
Oh my god. But Richard Sherman was he never stopped.
And Chancellor and Thomas
they went after him the entire time. I like it.
That's what it reminds me of. That's what Gus brings here.
Guess what? Here's the thing. All you have to do is teach him, listen, there's a time you have to be smart, you know. Do it, but don't.
I like
he kept
that
on
a lot.
His problem was he did it and then kept on going and going. That's what
I liked it.
I'm fine with I said it on the radio. I said he got on him and I said, "Nah, I disagree."
All right, no, wait, real quick now. What's the difference between that and Andre Branch? With a penalty on third, and if it's fourth and 14, he gets a 15-yard penalty.
Here's the difference.
Okay.
Here's the difference is I like him mixing it up and getting after it. When the official comes, just stop. It's over. At that point, it's over. But mixing up, if you notice that play, the officials let him mix it up, push each other, getting after it, and then the officials came. But Andre, from where our viewpoint is, kept on going.
Andre got hit first. I mean, he retaliated. To start that thing, he wasn't the first one.
But my point is.
All right, stop.
Yeah, but sooner or later, you have to.
And the difference is, they're on the 3-yard line. They're going to score anyway, so they get a penalty. It's a half a yard and a first down.
Totally get it.
And the other one's fourth down.
That's the difference. Listen, I got plenty of 15-yard penalties. And there are certain times, if you hit the quarterback late or there's a tie or an interception, I was gonna take a shot. But you got to be smart when you do it. And when you get off the field and the play's over, push and shove a little bit. When the official comes in, you got to realize you can't take a shot at the head. You can't start. You got to just stop because at that point, you don't want to get a flag.
All right. Hey, by the way, speaking of the secondary, there's a chance that they'll see Dwayne Gratz on the field for the first time since opening day. Gus said today, as part of his Baptist Health injury update presented by Baptist Health, changing healthcare for good, Gratz is going to be evaluated Wednesday. Thought he had made a lot of progress. Stayed back here. Has not been traveling with the team. Has been working. Mercedes, he says, is better and better. Mercedes even thinks he might play this week. Mincy and Burton are in the program for concussions, and they are seeing the independent consultant on their return to play. They'll be evaluated Wednesday, and then obviously the last one, Cecil Shorts. You understand, you know, you've had shoulders. It's not the shoulder.
It's the AC joint.
Yeah, I mean,
there's like some upper ribs areas or something.
Yeah, and the thought is that he might be able to play this week. Both Cecil and Gus said today maybe they're gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's really a pain tolerance. I mean, it's a very painful injury.
And you take shots when you go across the field.
Cecil tried to play. And wanted to go back in. I talked to him after the game, and he couldn't breathe.
Right. I wouldn't play.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and move along here through Jaguars Monday, live from the HenneyAutos.com studios inside EverBank Field. Pete Prisco's here. Tony Boselli's here. You can join us 355-NFL1 here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, rolling right along here, Brian Sexton along with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli on Jaguars Monday, and it's brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We talked about moral victories. Moving on, Chad Henne's the guy now, is he not? Now, having said that, we understand he's the guy this year.
What did Gus say in his press conference?
He's the starter this week. He would not say he's the guy for the rest of the season, but the way that offense has moved the last couple of weeks with him behind it, sure seems like.
Is Blaine healthy this week or no? Is
no.
he out again?
Not yet. Yeah.
But he's got, that might be a hamstring injury that lasts the entire rest of the season. Look, I thought Blaine could play. I really did. I kept saying it. I pounded that drum loudly, and I'd play Henne the rest of the way.
Well, right now, just from what you've seen on the field, Henny gives you the better chance of winning right now.
And they should play Gabbert then.
We stop. But he gives you the better chance of winning right now, so that's what you. I think that's where you got
to
go.
I agree. I think you have to play Henny. And look, Henny's a great slant ball thrower. That's what he is. He throws a good slant.
You know, he didn't throw a good one. But the first play of the game, you watched it on tape. The first play of the game, they rolled him right, and then he stopped and threw back, and he had
Harbor, right?
Harbor wide
open.
So wide open, Pete, that he may have gone 70 yards to score.
He might have scored.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because I couldn't see it all in, but the pass on second or third down when they had to settle for a field goal, he got batted at the line of scrimmage. Mike Brown was standing wide open within 10 yards. Right. That was a touchdown, too. Touchdown. So, yeah, there were opportunities there.
But there was a lot of
opportunities. He does throw a good slant pass.
Well, when you got Justin Blackmon running the route.
Right. It makes it a lot easier.
but he does look good on those. Right? I mean, listen, if you had to ask what Chad Henne's bread was, it would be his slant pass.
Listen, Chad, yeah. What I like about Chad is obviously he has some leadership and presence when he's in the game. I mean, you can see there's a confidence level. It's not like he doesn't look like he's shocked or doesn't belong. And he does things at times you're like, man, he really – but then there's just certain things all of a sudden you're like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, like the interception to Blackmon that was tipped at the line of scrimmage that he was trying to get the ball. It was going to get tipped anyway.
It was getting intercepted.
I mean, intercepted anyway.
It was intercepted even if it didn't get tipped, and he had the check down right underneath just
– See, to me, that's what the difference between the guy and a guy. The guy sees that and doesn't even try to go there. A guy – goes there, and that's the difference.
Yeah, there was nothing there.
No. It was. It might have gone back the other way because everybody was standing. The corner was sitting on
There's three guys sitting there waiting for it.
Yeah.
Fighting for the interception.
Well, if he stands at the line of scrimmage and has so many balls tipped and batted. I mean,
I don't understand that because he's a tall guy. He gets a lot of balls batted.
Well, he has a low. If you look where his release point is, it's pretty low.
So you got to move him, Ryan.
No, you got to – listen, Drew Brees is like 5'10". You have to – if you're a quarterback like that, you have to throw through lanes. You have to find the lanes and throw it there.
You also have to be good in the middle. And one thing about Drew Brees, over the years, he had Nicks and he had Evans.
Who does he have now?
He's got Nicks and he's got Grubbs, who's pretty good.
Yeah, Grubbs is good.
And De La Puente, the center, is a pretty good player. So he's always been better. One thing about Drew Brees, even in their Super Bowl years, they've always been better in the middle than they are outside.
Absolutely.
Because he knows how to move away from it. Here, that isn't the case. The inside isn't so good, so you're going to get passes batted down. So if you're – and he's not a big – Chad's not tall. He's got – what is he, 6'2"? Is that what he's listed at? 6'2"?
I thought he was 6'3".
Yeah. He has a low release point, so you got to be good in the middle.
Grab a quick call here before we break for news at the bottom of the hour. Kevin's in Savannah. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Brian. Tip passes. Gabbert's the ones that he has them slapped in his face much more than Henny does, but – I kind of want to know, the beginning of the season, the big three, Loggeman, Sexton, Buscelli, and I hold Buscelli's opinion in a higher regard, no offense, Brian, but everyone's on Gabbert's bandwagon that he should be the starter, and, you know, he never passed the eye test to me, and I think it turns out that you guys were wrong, because not that Henny is the answer and he's that much better, but to me, it's
you know,
obvious.
Kevin, everyone was on Gabbert.
Everyone was definitely a better quarterback than Gabbert.
You don't listen very well. Because if you listen, you'd understand that early this year, everyone was on for Gabbert because he was a top 10 pick, and you needed to find out whether he could be the guy.
That's right.
Right.
Nobody was saying he's absolutely the man. He's the next Peyton Manning. What they were saying is, me included, is the guy came in and he had only started 24 games.
Well, not only that, he looked better than Henny in preseason.
Yeah, he's got all the physical tools. But you had to find out whether he could be the guy or not.
And it took 5 games.
Right.
Right? It took 5 games.
Didn't take long.
And the difference is there was a ceiling for Henny. You didn't know if there was a ceiling for Gabbert.
And you had to find out.
What you found out is there is a ceiling for Gabbert. And now you play Henny. I mean, that's the reality of it. It's a business of production, okay? The best guy usually plays, but in certain situations, you have to find out what the long-term viability of a player is.
Right.
And it took them 4 or 5 games, and they found out.
So
now you go to Henny.
There's no mistake in having started the season with Gabbert and going to Henny.
No, it's the smart thing to do.
Exactly, and it's what this year was all about.
Obviously.
So We'll break for news here at the bottom of the hour and return more with Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco from the HananiaAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. News is next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, tonight at 7, join Jeff Loggeman and Brent Martineau on Jaguars All Access on CBS 47 with some special guests. Don't want to tell you who it is. You have to turn on and find out.
They're special.
Special. There you go. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
I bet I can guess that guest this week.
No, you can't.
No way.
No?
No, you can't.
You couldn't guess.
Well, take a guess.
Why wouldn't Blackman do it?
Yeah,
you're
no,
wrong.
It's not Blackman.
Maybe
it's guess again?
The right tackle?
Good try.
Remember, I said guests.
Oh.
As in plural.
The safeties.
No.
Just stop. You're not.
I'm going to go through the whole roster.
I'll tell you at the next commercial break. Not. So turn it on 7 o'clock on CBS 47. Just resetting for you. Do you believe in moral victories was our top topic this evening? Henny, he's the guy, isn't he? And finally, now what? And we'll get to that. But first, let's grab Marcus with some thoughts on the quarterback position. Hello, Marcus. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Good.
I was just wondering. I agree with the concept of building the team through the draft. I like what I've seen so far on both sides of the ball, and it seems like the key that we are missing is quarterback. Would it not hurt them to try to find that player this year? I mean,
where?
Play maybe the third-string quarterback or try Denard or pick up somebody undrafted?
Well, Denard's not going to play quarterback. He didn't even play quarterback a senior in college, basically. He was a tailback. Stanzi? No, I don't think they're going to go that direction.
Play Henny. And see what
happens.
Because
they're going to draft a guy next year no matter what.
And wouldn't it make more sense to get the best quarterback in next year's draft as opposed to trying with a third-string quarterback this year?
Right. What would be the point of that?
If you found your quarterback this year, wouldn't that help?
You'd already know.
Where are you going to find him, though?
I mean, that's a good question. I was going to ask you, was there any quarterbacks that were undrafted this year that could possibly make it in the NFL?
Not that I know of.
No.
My guess is no. With all the different injuries and people picking people up.
Well, and a quarterback that can play in the NFL doesn't go undrafted.
Rarely. Kurt Warner.
Right, Kurt Warner's the
but
only one.
But outside of that, I can't think of any others.
No, it's hard to play quarterback in the NFL.
The Jaguars quarterback is playing on Saturdays right now.
Yeah, in Oregon.
You think Mariota's the number one guy?
I just think when I haven't done the study on all of them yet. I want to, but when you get to it and you see Bridgewater at 6'1", 190, and you see Mariota at 6'4", 220 or whatever he is,
great
and he can
athlete.
Run, great athlete, and
huge
he's got
arm.
A great arm. Now he plays in a spread offense where guys get open.
Pretty much everyone does though nowadays.
But I don't know. I just think that the whole thing will. And Hundley's a possibility. Don't get me wrong. I think Hundley is an impressive kid. But I just think you want the bigger kid. You don't want a 6'1" guy to get. Are you if he goes to the combine, Teddy Bridgewater, everything is right now. He goes to the combine and measures 6'1", 190 pounds. Is he going to be the first overall pick?
Listen, all you have to know is this: last year at this time, everybody was convinced Geno Smith was going to be the number one pick overall.
Right,
and he didn't go in the first round.
Right,
that's all you. I mean, listen, multiple quarterbacks went before him.
I just think the bigger, more physical quarterback, and I'm not a runaround guy. You know me.
You want to stand and throw.
I want to stand and throw, but I think Mariota could be that guy. I think he can certainly get on that spot and spin the head and make the throws. But, he's going to have to adjust to taking snaps under center. It's a little bit different now, but I think he can do it.
Well, the one thing is absolutely clear is that where everybody said Bridgewater. He was the hot quarterback. What he did against Florida in the Sugar Bowl last year. If you'd seen him play, no matter who he played against, the ball just leaps out of his hand. He's obviously got a strong arm. Seems like he's got a great command, poise in the pocket, everything that you want. But when you look at him physically, you say, wow, he's just small. He's just not very big. Then you watch Mariota and you go, oh, he looks like Kaepernick.
Yeah, I mean, it,
that's who he looks
like. He looks like.
Like
Colin Kaepernick.
Is Bridgewater much bigger than Manziel?
No.
But you know what? Not in terms of height and weight, forget that just for a minute. Just in body style, right? I mean, Manziel is he looks like a linebacker, fullback kind of body.
I think Johnny Manziel's an intriguing guy.
Oh, gosh. How much fun is he to watch?
Oh, my gosh. I could watch him all play football today. And I love the swagger and the whole deal that he brings with him.
Do you think he can play on Sundays?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
I don't think you take him with the first overall pick, but I think there's a point in the draft, maybe the end of the first, sometime in the second, where it's like, this is worth the risk.
There are certain quarterbacks who remain nameless that when you watch them in college, I never thought in a million years he'd play in the NFL or should play in the NFL because he couldn't pass, and that's proven to be true. This kid,
and some of his followers are outside.
Yeah, followers, the word is appropriate there. And this kid, when you watch him play, he could pass. He's just little.
He's got big hands. He's got really big hands.
He can throw the ball, man.
I don't know how big he is. I don't know what it is. But I am drawn to TV when he
plays. Me too.
I mean, he played Ole Miss, and I stayed up as late as I could watching.
I watched the whole game.
But he was – I mean, he is fun to watch. I mean, he is just –
But you can't pick – this team –
No, you can't pick
this
him.
This team can't pick him.
No, no,
this
no.
team could not pick him. If they're picking one, they can't pick him.
But what if you end up with a bunch of extra picks and he's in the second round? Would you take two quarterbacks to have a player like that on your roster?
Too many other. Yeah. Too many other.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying if you just had one number two, but what if you worked around and had two
twos? No, here's the problem. A guy like Manziel, because of his swagger and because of his big...
He needs to play in order to be...
You don't want... Let's say it's Mariota, and then you have Manziel sitting there, and you don't want that.
You know why I say it?
Drag him down.
You know why
drag him out.
You know why I say it? I say it because back when Jimmy Johnson first started rebuilding the Cowboys, he took Troy Aikman, and then
Steve
in the
Walsh.
Supplemental took Steve Walsh.
Because he wasn't sure Troy Aikman could do it.
Well, that's part of it, I get. But the other side of the
court. And he had Steve Walsh.
And yeah, in Miami.
Right. And the other point of that is that not only are you developing your guy, but you're developing someone else's guy that could get you draft picks 2-3 years down the road. And if he's a special guy, you get a choice to make. Turns out Walsh was not a special guy, but at the time they thought he could be.
But the era is different now. How do you – people want to win right away now. So first, let's just say for – the sake of the argument, they draft Mariota and come back and get Manziel. Well, Mariota's going to play, so who's going to see Manziel in the preseason?
Yeah.
You're going to,
I'm just saying that's why I brought it up.
Right.
That's
no, I get it.
Just as a topic of conversation.
No, but yeah. Manziel's going to be a fun person to follow.
Well, could you imagine Manziel in Chip Kelly's offense? And you know Chip Kelly's sitting there saying, boy, I'd sure like to have Mariota in my offense.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's going to be there.
No, I don't either. I don't either. So, but this quarterback class, gonna be pretty good.
No, I think it is good.
And there's some other guys in this draft. You got the kid at, they're down the road guys, but you got
Taj Boyd at Clemson,
right? You have the kid McCarron, who
AJ McCarron just
at
wins.
Alabama.
You got the kid at San McCarron's Jose State, who
Well, you have to clarify that. That just wins thing.
No,
is the argument that we hear all the time.
I know,
time.
But McCarron's is a
he's a pro style
drop back.
Who wins?
Who has a better arm than he gets credit for, smart, understands offense. I mean, he looks like – I mean, he just – I think
Derek Carr.
I think he could be a good
David
Carr at Fresno State.
Murray.
I was just about to say, Mettenberger at LSU.
I like him.
There are a bunch of quarterbacks. In fact, if you wanted to map it out, I bet you there are, and I'm just guessing, 8 to 10 quarterbacks that could go in the first three rounds.
Yeah. Now – could this team take one at the one and come back and get one at four with an extra pick who's sitting there?
Yeah.
I think that would make some sense.
Well, and I think when you look at it, because if you don't think Gabbert or Henny's your guy.
Why? No way.
You're not,
you
why
need
Casey
too many players.
Yeah,
you need too
I wouldn't,
many guys.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
This is not a luxury of saying, let's take a couple quarterbacks.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't either.
I'd pick Mike, because if you're picking
that's
guy.
That's the guy we're going with.
That's the guy. And he better be the guy, because if he's not the guy, then you're not going to be the guy
anymore.
Yeah, but it's
anymore. A different
situation. That's the way in the world.
That is the way it works.
It is, however, a different situation if you take a guy in the fourth, right? It's like they had Berline and they had Brunell and they took Rob Johnson and that turned into Fred Taylor. That's not a bad thing to have. And they knew when they took Rob Johnson that he wasn't probably going to play for them. He might if Brunell didn't pan out, but Tom Coughlin liked Brunell,
well,
so I'm just saying
that's because
down the
they,
road.
I know, but they had a number
and they needed
one. They had a first round grade on Johnson. Now listen, if you
I'm
have
just
first,
saying.
If you have a first round grade on a guy, and you get to the fourth round and he's still there, I don't care what position he plays, then you take.
Well,
him.
That and hey, I take credit for that one. By the way,
you
I've
did.
Told you that story. I went outside and talked to Coughlin. I go, if you had a first round grade on Rob Johnson, he's sitting there in the third round. Why didn't you take him? He had two picks. He gave me the. Oh, we got Brunell. We got Brunell. He comes back. He goes in, picks him. He had offers
you
for
just
that
made
pick.
My point.
He had offers for that pick.
For Rob.
Yeah. No, for he had offers for the
Well, no, but yeah, because Rob Johnson was sitting
right,
there.
Right.
Because they premier quarterback from and a
so
premier
he
school.
And he said, hey, somebody said something to me last night, and we decided we'll take him, and whatever. Okay, fine. So I always tell him, I said, then Fred Taylor got on the Jaguars because I convinced you to take Rob Johnson.
And that's why I say, hey, look, if there's that many quarterbacks and you're able to move around and get extra picks, they've got 10, probably have some more here and there, maybe.
They'll probably end up with, when the draft happens, what, 12, 13 picks, I would imagine? Maybe more?
Yeah, boy. Dave Caldwell would love to hear that.
Well, I mean, what are they at? 8 right now?
No, 10. They're 10.
10? Oh, yeah. Look at the 11. Maybe. I don't know.
You never know.
I'm trying to think. Did they, free agents, did they lose that they might get a compensatory pick for?
Only get compensatory picks if you lose more than you pick up.
Right. Well, what'd they lose? They didn't lose. Did they lose anybody? They lost a lot of guys.
Knighton, Cox.
Two starters. Right? They might. And
Knighton and Cox are both gone, and Daryl Smith left.
Greg Jones.
Free agency, Greg Jones. Yeah,
they might get a compensatory pick.
Yeah.
So you never know.
They could end up with 12 or 13 picks.
You got a guy that you got a higher grade on, and he's sitting there in the fourth round. Rob Johnson was not a bad pick. 355 NFL1. Let's grab Darren and Mandrew before our next break. Darren, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. As far as the quarterbacks go, in my opinion, I think McCarron, the quarterback out of Alabama, is Chad Pennington. That's just my personal opinion.
He's got a better arm than Chad Pennington.
But does he have the smarts? But I'm just comparing them as far as me watching them play. That's what.
Well, if you're going to compare him, compare him to a guy who has the same kind of arm and looks the same way. Pennington was a little guy with a bad arm. McCarron's a big guy with a better arm.
Pennington could get the ball where he needed to get it. I think he could place it where he needed to place it. And as far as quarterbacks go, the common denominator about with teams picking in the top 10, the common denominator, they don't have a quarterback. So if that team, whether it's Caldwell or whoever it is, if they don't take a quarterback, then you're going to have to wait to the second round. So that's why what happens is teams overreach. They overanalyze, and they draft that guy. And then once they draft him, if the guy doesn't pan out 2 or 3 years later, Gene Smith with Blaine Gabbert, whatever you want to call him.
But, hey, Darren, I want to go back to something you said. First of all, all the top 10 teams in the draft do not need quarterbacks.
Name one that doesn't need a quarterback.
Okay, New York Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers both are slated to be in the top 10. There's two.
Right now. We're talking about when the draft comes.
They'll probably be there. If you look at those two teams and look at their weaknesses, they'll both probably be top 10.
Go to last year, the year before that.
Last year?
Name a team that doesn't need a quarterback.
Okay, last year there was only one quarterback picked in the top 10.
Hey, what team was that?
Buffalo.
No, they didn't.
Okay, so
they backed
they
out.
Took Manuel?
They picked EJ Manuel.
No, right. They came up and got him. Yeah.
But no one else.
No, they backed out.
They backed out, then came back in.
You're telling me no team that drafted a top 10 last year needed a quarterback?
I don't know. Say they didn't.
Let's think about who drafted.
I can't remember the draft.
Well, Jacksonville needed one and didn't pick one.
Right.
Because they had Blaine Gabbert.
They didn't pick one.
Right.
Kansas City got Alex Smith.
Okay, right. So they didn't need one.
The Dolphins have Tannehill. I think they picked 10 or 11.
They picked Deion Jordan, who hadn't done anything.
Yeah, they didn't pick
Deion Jordan's actually a pretty good player. Go ahead, though.
They're not happy with him. He'll be good.
All right, Arizona needed a quarterback.
No, they didn't.
They got Palmer.
They had Palmer.
Yeah.
They went out and got Palmer from the Oakland Raiders.
Okay, but they didn't need a quarterback. They're in the top 10. My whole point is your argument is nonsensical. They're not every team in the top 10 needs a quarterback.
Quarterbacks are overdrafted because teams that are stink.
Oh, I agree with that. Usually quarterbacks are overdrafted. I agree.
It's a quarterback-driven league. Once a team gets a quarterback.
So what's your point?
Yeah, what is your point?
Tannehill.
They overdraft them, and then if you get one, you're locked up for years. Go ahead. What's your point?
What's your point, Derek? Just say, what's your point?
You don't have a point.
Right. He just wanted to say, the Dolphins got Tannehill.
Well, the book's still out on him too. He's been better, but the book's still out on him.
All right, 355 NFL1.
It always goes back to Miami with him. He used to call my show every afternoon and argue about the Dolphins.
It always goes back to the Dolphins with him. I looked at Joe and I looked at that guy. I don't know whether I'll take him. Then I go, maybe Pete'll fight with him, and he did. So there you go. We'll go to the break and return. One more segment in hour number one. Jaguars Monday from the HanamiaAutos.com studio on Jaguars Radio.
Hey, Jaguars Nation.
Welcome back to the HanamiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday from the HennemyAutos.com studio. We've got the news coming up here in about 5 minutes. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Grab a couple phone calls. Katie is in Nocatee. Hello, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Season ticket holder, faithful to the Jaguars. I have two questions. First one is, has Denard Robinson been, or I was calling the wrong thing, been called and tried out in different places, in different positions? Because I know he did have a quarterback past, right?
Yeah, he started a quarterback for a couple of years at Michigan.
3 years at Michigan. He is, listen, they want it. He's very athletic. He's very explosive. They'd love to get him more involved, I believe.
He's a project.
But he's a project. He's not great at catching the ball right now. I think he'll figure that out because he's such a good athlete. And so right now I think where you'll see him more than anywhere is running back, but in a very limited role at this point.
His head was spinning all summer.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think he's still going to be a good player. He's so athletic and explosive. He's thicker than you think as well. And I think he'll get bigger with an offseason program. I would not be shocked if Denard Robinson becomes a tailback in this league. At all.
Oh.
No, I agree.
Well, I hope we keep him around. I really
him. He's not going anywhere.
I really think, I mean, if you look at his body type and if you give him a year, an offseason of getting bigger and maturing in another year, put 10 pounds on him, he's fearless to running between the tackles. I could see him becoming a running back.
I would agree.
What else did you have?
Well, the other thing I have is, because my husband is a psychologist as well as I, we work a lot with PTSD, and watching Blaine Gabbert on that field, if you watch him and think of it like that, that he cringes just at the thought of somebody coming at him. It's very interesting. I know nobody in the NFL with all the stuff that goes on with the medical stuff even wants to think of that, but I think if somebody could work with him with that, he might not be so skittish.
No, I don't know if it's skittish. I just think it's feel. I don't think he has a very good feel in the pocket. And sometimes that can look like being skittish. He's played through injuries.
I think Katie was looking for some business.
I was just about to say, leave your number with Joe and we'll pass it along.
I could use some help.
Do you have some of that?
In so many different ways.
Do you have post-traumatic stress syndrome?
I got something, and I'm not sure what it is.
I do, too. I don't know what it is. I think I got adult attention deficit disorder.
Yeah, I got issues. My wife tells me every day.
Hey, real quick, just on Gabbert, the play that I go back to where I started to say, okay, maybe he doesn't have this feel, was the Colts came here, and you know the play because we talked about that there was a perfect pocket, stay in it, climb the ladder, right? And there was no reason for him. Do you remember what? They were going right to left. And he jumped out right into the defensive end for no reason whatsoever. To me, that wasn't stress. That wasn't fear. That was just no instinct, no
phantom
feel.
Pressure.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and Osher used to sit in the press box when we covered the team, and we'd say that when Brunell felt it, too, because he
don't
did.
Don't say anything bad about my guy.
No, I like Mark. Mark was a good player.
I'm not going to have it, Pete. I'll come beat you. I'll beat the guy
but every,
right here.
Every quarterback,
I will beat you.
Every quarterback in the league has phantom pressure. It's just a matter of how long you can handle it.
You have phantom pressure.
No, I don't
He's
scare.
Sitting right in there. He's not letting you
there's
bother
only two things
him.
You couldn't sit in the pocket, Pete.
Yeah, I could.
No way. You're not tough enough.
You pay me $5 million, you can blast the hell out of me.
You're not a good enough athlete either.
You can blast the hell out of
that's
me.
That's been proven. You're not a good enough athlete.
You want to go shoot baskets? You want to shoot baskets? You think you can outshoot me? I guarantee you right now you won't outshoot
me. You want to go do slow pitch softball?
No. I'll bet you I was never played slow-pitch softball. That's not sport.
It's obviously.
You
want to
go shoot baskets with me? We'll go to a court right now, and I'll shoot your eyes out, and you'll owe me money after we're done.
Shooting it. What does that have to do with anything?
That's an athletic skill.
You want to go play one-on-one?
No, you'll post me up the whole game. Then I'll have to knock your knees out.
I mean, you're
then you'll have another surgery.
You're not good enough athlete. It's okay.
I might wait. It's your hip. The hips are bad, right? I'll go for the hip.
Good now.
I'll go for
I dunk over
the shoulders are still.
Oh, the shoulders are messed up.
I'll go over the shoulders. I can't reach them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Don't touch the shoulders. I'll go down quick.
I'll dunk over you now.
I don't think so. I don't think you can dunk now.
I don't either.
See, me, I never could.
Let's grab Keith real quick here at the end of the hour. He's down at Ponte Vedra. Keith, if you could make it quick, the floor is yours.
Hey, yeah, Pete, Tony, everybody, I'll make it quick. Tony, I don't know if you remember, but you were jogging the other day, and we said, hey, I was chipping balls on the inland course over Sawgrass.
And I was walking.
We got to talking. Yeah, well, you were actually jogging, so anybody's got anything to say about your hip? They haven't seen you actually out there jogging or running, because that hip is giving you no problem.
That's right.
My only question to Tony is, is there any chance based on your wear of clothing that day that you may be looking at talking to Mr. Coughlin about going and helping that line in New York?
No. I had a New York Giants t-shirt on.
I was wondering what you were wearing there for a minute.
Because, you know, like in 04 or 05, I went up there and helped coach for a few days during training camp. And so I got a t-shirt, and I'm so cheap that I don't buy it. It's free, so it stays in the closet.
He's on scholarship for every team in the league.
Isn't that what you said at the start of the show?
I went out jogging.
If it's free,
actually,
it's for me.
I appreciate Keith saying I was jogging.
You were walking.
I walked 3 miles, and literally for about 200 yards of that 3 miles, I tried jogging just a little bit.
When you saw someone on the golf course?
You still have problems jogging because of the hip?
No, I actually doesn't hurt at all. I'm not supposed to very much.
No?
Just with the pound. It doesn't hurt at all.
Right.
So when I walk, for 100, 200 yards, I'll jog a little bit just to
try
to get the heart rate up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, time for news and then hour number 2 of Jaguars Monday from the HennityAutos.com studios. News is next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and AM 690.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, here we go. Hour number 2, Jaguars Monday. Brian Sexton in the studio with Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. Tony Boselli is here. You can join us, 355-NFL-1. Big day in Boston yesterday. I mean, a Grand Slam home run, Red Sox win.
Did you see Torrey Hunter? That guy's a stud.
Did you stay up and watch it? You guys
were on the plane
back.
Right home.
You wouldn't have stayed up and watched it anyway.
No, we watched it on the plane.
You did?
I
went to bed.
I was watching the football game. But Scott Kushner, our engineer, had the game on, so I was watching that a little bit here.
That play Torrey Hunter did not make, but the effort he gave of going through the wall and over it was awesome. That's what sports is all about, moments and playoffs. Ortiz's home run was huge. But the effort he gave and to give up his body like that, that guy's a stud.
All right. You don't think Belichick's a stud?
No, I think he's the best coach in football. But that just goes to show you that even the best coaches in football make stupid decisions. Remember when
Is he the best coach in football, or does he just have one of the best quarterbacks of all time?
Well, it's nice to have that, too. Yeah. But he's also
– He's very good.
The fact he took away Jimmy Graham yesterday and he had nothing, not one catch.
No, he's very good. He's a genius on defense.
Right. So remember years ago in 2009 when he went for it at Indy?
Yes.
And I wrote my lead to that game. I was there. It was 4th and Jackass. Because I thought it was a stupid, stupid decision.
Right.
You don't get Peyton Manning the ball and let him go score and beat you. It's just dumb.
No, kick it to him and
give your
defense a chance.
He's in the situation. They're down 24-23. 2 minutes and 54 seconds left in the game. He's got 3 timeouts left and the 2-minute warning. And it's 4th and 6 from his 24-yard line, and he went for it.
No, I disagree with that 100%.
Terrible call. So what happened? Because you know why?
Brady ended up throwing an interception on that.
On the next series. And then they still had – and because Peyton did his part to help out too because he the way they used the timeouts and everything. So they get the ball back and win the game because Brady's special. And he goes right down the field and Rob Ryan didn't adjust, which is why he's never been a defensive coordinator on a playoff team. Just went right down the field. But in that situation, 24-23, you punt the ball because all you need is a field goal. And if you have your timeouts and a 2-minute warning, you stop, you get the ball back, you're probably going to be at the 35-yard line. Brady needs to go get a field goal. If you don't do that and they get a field goal, then you have to go get a touchdown.
Oh, it's a terrible call.
Bad.
Why
and it's
does
not
he
like
do
fourth
that?
And inches or
Why
anything.
Why did he do it? What was his reasoning?
He when you looked at his quotes afterwards, there was no rationale to it. They felt it was a better way to get a first down, and they felt they could get the ball back or whatever. He also said, and he did this when he was in Indy, he also said there was 3 minutes and 20-something seconds. No, there was. It was 2:40-something left, which when he was in Indy, he goes, well, it was 4th and 1. No, it was 4th and 2. This is the greatest arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time. No. He doesn't even know the situation.
Or he knows the situation and doesn't want to admit it.
Tony, situational coaching in this league is horrendous.
At times, I agree.
This year it's even worse. For whatever reason, these guys are botching all kinds of two-point decisions. And we were just talking about Gus going for two.
I liked the call.
You liked it. I didn't like it.
But you
I'm a traditionalist. I think you chase points after a while. I know.
They're not chasing points, Pete. It's bigger than just that. I think being able to go in at halftime tied when you're playing the Broncos, arguably the best team in football with the best quarterback maybe in the history of the game, and you have a chance to tie it up when no one is giving you a chance to be in the game, I think it says something to your team. Any other situation,
right?
I would not go for two. And I don't think Gus would go for two in any other situation.
This team is different. It's like in 95 when you went to Tampa.
Went for two to win the game.
And I told Tom, I still to this day tell him it was a horrible decision.
But it was different. It's the right call for that situation.
Not for me. Because I don't ever want to, in that situation, I'll go back to it. Why not put it on 10 plays instead of one? You know, you're limiting yourself.
You're missing the point of that.
I'm not missing Sunday.
I agree in every other case.
Yesterday is more, you can explain away yesterday to me.
I don't think Gus goes for two. If this team was 4-2 playing against a 6-2, 6-0 Bronco team, and it's a back and forth, and it's a game.
And Tom probably doesn't go for two if his team is later on.
You're going for the playoffs. You kick the field goal, and you go.
Gus, I can understand that one. Yesterday, I can understand more than when Tom did it, going for two, because I don't think you want to. You're telling your team, okay, this is one play. If you don't make it, you're losing. If not, the other way is if you kick it, you go to overtime. You have a bunch of different plays to be made.
I'm fine with that in almost every situation, but you have to look at the team, the overall big picture of what's going on, and that's why I think Gus made the right call.
But Brady bailed him out. I mean, when you think about it, Brady's bailed his career out, too.
Well, yeah, he was, 13-20, something like that,
at
one point? Yeah. No, I was just thinking about before Brady came on the scene.
And then at Cleveland, he didn't win it.
Were they, 1-3?
No, the one year they won 9 games or 11 games.
They won the playoffs. Yeah.
But the point is that if you got the quarterback, you win. You're great.
Look.
If you don't,
people
you're not.
Can talk about coaching all they want. If you put the quarterback here and the coach over here and you're asked for the next 10 years to pick one of them in the prime, and you can have one or the other, you're picking the quarterback.
Well, do it this way. You said it. Belichick, arguably one of the best coaches ever. He is one of the best coaches ever to coach in the NFL. If you had to choose, if you're starting a franchise, and you can have Belichick or Brady, who are you picking?
Right.
Brady.
Or right now, you can have Belichick and a bad quarterback, or Andrew Luck and a so-so coach. You're taking Andrew Luck.
Absolutely.
Of course you are. It's just about, they're 70% of the game.
Who's my personnel guy, though? Who's picking my players?
Me.
Good, I'm out. I'm out.
Why? You'd be my first pick if I was looking for a tackle.
I'm back in.
See how easy it is? If it's good for me.
It's good for me. It's good for me. We love that motto around here. He's a team player.
I am. There's no team. There's no I in team.
You can talk all that.
There is a me.
Here's why I'm going to dispute your team M&E. Thing. Ready? You're no different than the rest of us. It's all good for me is good for me. When you're at line at the airport and the carousel, the luggage comes around, and somebody's luggage doesn't come, you're glad it's not you, right? You're glad your luggage comes, right?
Or
your family's luggage comes.
That is the dumbest.
No, because that's what it all comes down to. Everybody cares about their own crap in reality. The bottom line, and that's like crap. If your flight gets canceled and mine goes, that's good for me. Bad for you. But it would be better if your flight for you. It would be better if your flight went and mine didn't. So in the reality of the whole thing of life, it's all about you. You're no different.
Disagree.
You and yours.
In certain situations, fine. But if you're saying that as an overall philosophy, I disagree.
You tend to agree, I think.
If you say that, Pete, then
you're saying, why give to charity? Why help other people?
No, that's different. That's different.
That's sacrificing for somebody else. That's not all about me. It's sacrificing for someone else.
Well,
you're a selfish.
I am. I am. I still give the charity.
In Pete's,
my wife makes me.
That's the whole point.
In Pete's.
So you and I have a completely different worldview of philosophy.
But again,
I'm not like you.
A lot of ways.
I'm not like
him. He's not talking about taking away from someone for it to be good for him. What he's saying is, situationally speaking, if it works for me, then it's good for me.
Not if it's bad for somebody else.
But that's not. Okay, so if the luggage doesn't come or the flight gets bumped.
It doesn't work for you.
Right. If the flight gets bumped, somebody's flight gets canceled, but yours tends to go, isn't that good for you? And that's bad for them. But you'd rather be you flying than them flying, right?
Well, I'd rather both of us fly.
But it can't be. It's one or the other. You'd rather it be you.
Well, in certain circumstances, depending on what that person needs, I might sacrifice my flight so they could be on it.
Okay, all right. Well, let me put it to you this way. Let's say that there is one steak dinner on the team charter home left, and I'm sitting on one aisle and you're sitting on the other, and but you're sitting slightly ahead, and she turns to the left and she says, "Mr. Buscelli, would you like the steak dinner?" And you're hungry. Now, are you going to not eat that at my expense? Are you going to say, "Well, Brian's hungry too, he can have that steak"? Or are you going to eat the steak?
No, I'd say, "Brian, why don't we split the steak?"
You would not.
Yeah, I would.
If you were a couple rows ahead of him, you wouldn't even care about him.
Here's the last steak.
If I knew and Brian was hungry and I was hungry and there's one steak left, I'd say, "Brian, let's share the steak."
I'm not, something like that wouldn't be as important to me. Like, I'd say, "Here, go ahead, have it. I don't care." But
I would share.
But when it comes to things like I've used this theory. Dude, that's good for
you
me.
You used to say, in 1995, I mean, you had two theories that you used to throw out. That was one, right? And the other was, is that if everybody put all their problems, took all your problems, right, and you could make them material and put them in a pile in the middle of the room, and you got to look at that pile, you reach in and grab yours back.
It depends who else's problems are.
No, anybody.
He's right. And now this is not an altruistic thought, philosophy from Pete. What he's saying is be happy with your life, because if you had everyone else's problems, if
different.
You took a look at
that's,
it, I'm just trying to give you the other side of Pete.
That's another
you
side
said,
of it.
That's a different side. It's a different argument.
I know,
no,
but
it
you
is.
Said he's selfish, and
it
I'm
is.
Telling you that in that case, he's not being selfish.
I'm not going to say, I'm not going to deny
himself.
Oh,
yeah, he wants his problems, nobody else's. He's selfish.
Does that qualify as the copy fax face off for the night? It might. We'll see. We got a topic. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got much more with these two guys. The HannityAutos.com studio. Philosophy from Pete. I've held those two for 19 years now, pal. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Welcome back. Brian Sexton, Pete Frisco, Tony Buscelli here at the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars and Chargers on Sunday. And by the way, you will see the Chargers tonight on Monday Night Football and get a look at them. They come across the country, so it'll be interesting to see. Dwight Freeney's not playing for them right now, but you've got Philip Rivers. So watch that tonight and get a look at this week's opponent. And then, of course, a week from tonight, we will not be here because we will be on an airline flight across the Pacific.
I won't be. I'll be here.
You will be here, right, across the Atlantic
to
London.
Maybe you can win the coffee facts argument that week.
I'll argue with myself. I do that a lot, by the way.
All right, I was stalling so you guys could figure out.
No,
your
we have one.
We already have one.
Yeah, we have one.
Well, thanks for telling me.
We came in planned. We had one prepared.
Well, if you would have told me, I'd lead you there. But now it's up to you to introduce it yourself.
Yeah, we can introduce it. Here's the deal. Aaron Rodgers got mad yesterday at Matt Eaton because he went low on Randall Cobb. And initially it looked like that might be season-ending. It's not, and the Packers will have him in a couple weeks. But the fact that the quarterback got mad at the defensive back, to me, is a bit of a red flag around the league. We had this early in the season, remember? We had Dustin Keller go down on a low hit. So Rodgers is mad he went low. You can't go high. Where the heck are you supposed to hit him? Now, I agree in certain situations, like on the line when a guy cuts a guy in the back of his leg when he's running like the Texans.
Fair.
It's fair, but I don't like that.
Well, why do you like it? That's part of the game. It's in the rules. And if you cut blocking is completely legal. They've been doing it forever.
I don't like it.
I'm sorry you don't like it.
Did you ever cut anybody and hurt their knee?
Hurt their ankle one time.
Yeah. Who was
I didn't
it?
Like it.
Do you remember who it was?
It was a Houston Oiler back in Nashville.
You're a dirty player.
That's part of the game. It's not a dirty play if it's in the rules.
I know, but it shouldn't be in the rules.
Yes, it should. No, that is wrong.
That's dangerous to the backside of the knee.
First of all, if you look at all the cut blocks that are made in the league, the amount of injuries that actually happen is minuscule percentile-wise compared to the entire amount of blocks that are made. There are much more dangerous plays than that.
Did anybody ever kick you in the head when you tried to cut them?
Yeah, probably.
I would have kicked you in the head.
Well, listen, you're part of the problem right now. Maybe we should just put flags and not do anything.
No.
What's wrong with you, Pete?
Okay, so you're okay. You're okay. I like tough games. I just don't like knees.
Well, cut. Go, that's part of the game. If you're in the trenches, in the run game, you're going to get cut on the backside. That's part of the game.
I don't like it.
And you're going to get cut as a linebacker.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
And you're going to get cut as a linebacker as well. Now, that's part of the game.
Now, Elam's low hit, and Rodgers getting mad. Should Rodgers have been mad about that?
Well, he can get mad all he wants. You call the commissioner. The commissioner made the rules.
Right. The rule is in place, right?
Yeah, I don't like anyone getting hurt. And I'm an offensive guy, but it's unfair what they're doing to the defenders. It's unfair what they're doing to the back seven of the defense because there's nowhere you can hit a guy unless you go below the waist and be safe. Because even if you go for the chest and that offensive player lowers his head, you're going to get penalized.
See, here's where I have my problem with, and I see where Rodgers was mad, but here's where I have a problem with the defensive back. Going low doesn't always have to be so low. You know what I mean?
You're wrong.
No.
The game is played too fast. Pete.
It's fast. I get it.
You can't. I mean,
but there
come
are certain
on.
Plays. For example, you can't go low in the pocket on a quarterback.
That's because it's a quarterback lead. They want to protect the most important
asset.
Okay,
so why can't the wide receiver be protected on his knee?
Where are you going to hit him then, Pete?
Right from
no,
knees
that's crazy. It's unfair.
Knees to chest.
And so what happens when the offensive player lowers his head to protect himself, which is a natural reaction after you catch the ball, is to lower yourself to protect yourself. The defender's coming at the chest. Offensive player lowers his head, hits him in the head. Oh, let's throw a flag on him. I can't believe I'm arguing for the defense right now.
A lot of times when a guy goes low, he's doing something he shouldn't be doing anyways. He's put his head down, and he's going to nine times out of ten, he's going to miss the tackle anyways. But he goes low, he's hitting him in the knee. It's just
I don't know where else you want him to hit him.
I agree. They got to do something. I don't agree with you. I agree they got to do something. But I agree that I also think that it's dangerous for defensive players to go low on wide receivers.
Then allow him to hit him in the head.
Head's better than a knee.
That's where you and I you and I agree with that.
Head's better than a knee.
But listen,
You can play in 2 weeks if you got a head, you can't play if you don't have a knee.
The way the rules are slated right now, I have no problem with what Elam did.
I better watch out saying a bit things about head. Keith Olbermann might get on me again.
Oh, who cares?
So are we done?
Yes, I won again.
Oh, you did not.
The backside cuts on the line, though, by the way. We'll just throw that in there for the sake of this.
What are you talking about?
Like an addendum. It's just dangerous. It's dangerous.
The game is dangerous, Pete. Guess what? Maybe you and all the other people who think the game's too dangerous, go do something else then.
No, I don't do it.
Go cover badminton.
No,
I don't cover bowling.
I don't care about shot.
Table tennis.
I don't care about the violence.
This is a dangerous game. It's a tough game. If you don't like it, you're not tough enough.
I love the game. Tough enough, I love. Pete. Oh, I'm plenty tough enough. But I also want my knees.
Well, I like my knees. Go play another sport then.
I like my knees.
Are you sure there's not another argument coming?
Go do something else.
No, I
cover. You know, cover.
Because I want to talk about
baseball.
The Texans.
Cover baseball.
I want to hear it. Go ahead. You never played the game.
I didn't say that. I never said that.
I want to talk about the Texans.
Yes.
We didn't get to see them yesterday. Other than, we watched a little bit of it before the game when we weren't working. So your thoughts on the Texans and what has become of that team?
They're dead.
It wasn't Matt Schaub yesterday either. Here's the problem with the Texans. You play a 3-4 defense. You have arguably, and he is, the best defensive player in the league. He gets doubled and tripled. So that should leave a lot of single blocks. And in that 3-4 scheme, the outside linebackers, they're supposed to be guys that get to the quarterback.
They're not great.
They stink. Brooks Reed is horrendous. Merciless, who they drafted in the first round, has been a major
disappointment. They shouldn't have let Connor Barwin go.
And he wasn't that good either.
But he was better than those guys.
So you look at the Texans, everybody goes, what's wrong with the Texans? Well, there's what's wrong with the Texans. The focal point of that defense is supposed to be pass rushers from the 3-4 edge rushers.
And they're not very
good.
They don't have them.
Then you go to the offensive side of the ball. Like we said last week, when Schaub goes bad, it goes bad. And yesterday, it just seemed like they weren't trying to do things to protect them a little bit, I thought. And when it goes,
I don't know how great the right side of that offensive line
is. No, they're not very good either. And Newton on the right tackle isn't a very good player. Brooks was supposed to be. They told me at camp he was going to be a Pro Bowler. He's been a little bit of a disappointment. And you know, they're cut block team, the zone blocking, chop you back in the legs. They got the running game going. Here's another thing about them. I think they're a little soft. J.J. Watt is a beast and a nasty, nasty player. But you look around that team.
Him and Cushing are both like that.
That's it. That's it.
Well, they're struggling to safety, too.
Well, because the aging statue.
Well, Daniel Manning's now gone.
Reed is back there, and he stinks. But they're not a tough team. They get offended when you say that, by the way, because I brought it up with them. And Kubiak's like, oh, no. I think Gary Kubiak might be the nicest coach, one of the nicest coaches in the National Football League. But I just wonder if
he's not.
Well, they're not a great
driver. Fire enough, tough enough. And I don't, because Dungy wasn't. He won a title, but he also had Peyton Manning. He has Matt Schaub.
And they're not a great drop-back passing team.
No.
They never have been.
They've always been boots off the play and misdirection, and now they don't have Owen Daniels. It's bad. You know, we talk about a game the Jaguars might win here. They might win that one.
Depends on who's healthy and who's not. Right. Arian Foster had 141 yards yesterday. I didn't see him.
The holes were gigantic, too. But they got behind. Here's another thing about Houston.
They can't play from behind.
No, they were down 31-6 in the third quarter, and they had like a 12-play, 7-minute drive with handing off to Arian Foster. You can't play. You're trying to get back in the game, right?
I agree.
That's who they are, though, and that's part of the problem, too.
So this is the Colts division.
I think we'll find out a lot about the Colts tonight, because this is a scary game for the Colts. They played here's what happened. They played San Francisco, then played Jacksonville, and then went back and played Seattle. You guys know that he handed out mouse traps that week for the Jacksonville game. Well, he comes back. So people are saying this is a trap game. But you'll know better than me on this, because you played. Monday night in the trap game, in the sense that people are watching, so it's going to be a little different than, like, if you went
out there. They're going to be up.
Right. If you went out there on a Sunday afternoon and nobody's watching, it'd be different. It could be a trap game because they play Indy next week. So it's Seattle, San Diego on the road, Indy. But they get a break because it's a Monday night game. So that'll help. To me, that in my mind, that helps take away.
Monday night always makes a big difference because you're up. I mean, no matter what.
Right.
There's no trap game.
But they're pretty good. I've watched their games on tape. They've improved a great deal in a lot of areas. Anthony Costanzo's playing good at left tackle.
All right.
He's made big improvements this year. The right side guys.
Gosser Charles is
pretty solid. Yeah. The guards are playing better. They got a rookie left guard. And then on defense, they've added, you know, Ricky Jean, Francois, guys. Like, they're better.
They're bigger and tougher inside.
Right. And the only flaw in the whole thing is Trent Richardson. He's not very good.
Yeah, he's not very impressive.
No. Last week, I think it was 3.4. He doesn't get over 3.5 per carry. But watch Robert Mathis tonight. Downright scary what he might do to King Dunlop.
And Freeney, by the way.
Dunlop can't move.
No.
Freeney's gone, right? He's done for the season?
Yeah.
He didn't put him on the six-week IR?
He's done.
What was it?
Quad. Torn quad.
Quad, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you look at the division.
That's an age injury, too, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was actually playing okay for
He was playing well.
Titans don't look like they're ready to take a step forward. Obviously, they don't have their quarterback.
No, and
their
you know, healing balloon though. Fitzpatrick stinks.
Their defense,
their
is, pretty
defense is pretty good. But Jacksonville might be able to get a win in the division against one of those two teams.
Right?
Probably not, but they could.
Listen, what did you say? A victory earlier? Is that what you called
victory,
that?
Victory. They looked better. They looked improved. Some of the young players did some good things, and they lost. That's a victory.
You and your victory.
It's a three-year process. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Look.
You play to win the game.
You play to win it all.
We got to win it all.
No, you got to lose to win it all. Losing is a good thing.
You got to draft the right guy.
Right. Well, that's first and foremost, number one. But you hired Dave with the idea that he will find the right guy.
Which, based on last year's draft... So far,
I think his draft looks good.
I do too.
It has the makings of a really good draft. I mean,
foundation for the future.
Right. Let's put it this way. If Dave has a second draft that's as good as his first draft, then they're going to have players on this team.
Yeah, they'll be
lots
good.
Of them. And then you supplement it with a couple of free agents, not big money guys, but a couple guys here and there, you know, a lineman.
Fill holes.
Right. And then the next year, you get a couple more of those. And then in year three, if that quarterback you draft is as good as you think he is,
then you're set.
Then in year three, you're not pushing for a playoff spot. You're in the conversation to win the division.
That's exactly right.
All right. Time for us to break for news here as we reach the bottom of the hour. And our broadcast this evening is brought to you by PRI Productions. We've got 30 more minutes with Tony and Pete here from the HananiaAutos.com studios. Jaguars Monday continues after the news on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Final half hour of Jaguars Monday from the HananiaAutos.com studios. Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. Tony Boselli. Joe Fortunato is here taking your calls. You can join us 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. Hey, across the state yesterday, Eagles come down from Philly, and they get a team that appears to be reeling over there. The Bucks, you know, they have not won a game.
You're being kind.
Okay. I say appears because I haven't really paid all that much attention to it, but the whole Shiano-Freeman thing is a big part of it, and that's a disaster, but the team is taking it on the chin.
Yeah, and Jacksonville's got to keep an eye on Tampa because they're battling for number one pick overall.
Yeah, that's why
again,
I said.
He makes the face.
That's why I said. I mean,
right.
If you really want the number one pick, you may have to lose every game because the Bucks might.
Look at it.
That will take care of itself.
No, it doesn't take care of itself. You don't want to lose.
Listen, if you're Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, especially Gus, you don't worry. You worry about trying to win.
Yeah, they're not having this conversation.
No. In their scheme of things, no. You want to try and win. I get it. But for the long-term success of the franchise, losing isn't
a bad term. The long-term of the franchise is having the right guys in the leadership positions.
But to get the right guys, you might need to. No, it's having the right guy at the quarterback position.
Which is one of the leadership positions right. within the franchise.
Right. One of the playing positions. Playing.
No, but listen, I'm a big believer. Owner, GM, head coach, quarterback. You have to have good in those positions.
Hey. I'm a big believer in quarterback.
But you don't want to draft two next year. What's that all about?
No.
I'm kidding.
If you have two, you have none.
Hey, real quick, just their schedule, right? They're 0-5 right now.
Okay.
It's brutal. They're at Atlanta.
They already had a bye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brutal. They're at Atlanta next week.
Right.
Then host Carolina on a Thursday night game.
Okay.
At Seattle. Host Miami. Host Atlanta. At Detroit. At Carolina. Host Buffalo. Host San Francisco. At St. Louis. At New Orleans.
They host Buffalo. They'll win that game.
You might.
Right.
Carolina
home on a Thursday night, they win that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they might win a couple games.
All right. But, I mean, that's a – they got a rookie quarterback, by the way, so right. you never know.
But right. And the bigger issue they have is Greg Schiano. It's a disaster. The reports last week that he is the one who leaked the Josh Freeman in the program, rehab, whatever – not the rehab, but in the league program, substance abuse program – that he is the one who leaked it. If that comes out to be true, you have to fire him immediately. I mean, you can't. I mean,
well, he didn't leak it.
The league has to step in and say
he didn't leak it to the media.
I don't care if he told anybody as a coach. You're not allowed. You're not. That's none of your business. You right. stay out of it.
He
you don't talk to anyone about that.
I agree.
Except the GM.
Right.
You and the GM can have that conversation, and the owner. Outside that, nobody else. And as a player, if my head coach is doing that, I want him gone now.
That's a rookie mistake. That's a young coach, NFL coach who doesn't in college. You can tell anybody anything about anybody, basically.
You really can't because of HIPAA laws.
But injuries, you can't. But like I'm saying, you could tell. I mean, you shouldn't, but they get away with it.
They don't have the NFL program.
Right. Listen, if he did that, so
that's collectively bargained with the Players Association.
And trust me, the locker rooms think the same way. They're done with him.
I mean, the fans were done with him. Yesterday when he ran off the field, they just berated him. I mean, they gave him
But you here, but isn't that basically he's lost
he's
the locker
done.
Room?
But the whole Freeman thing went rotten to begin with. But then, then he had Revis complaining about him. Then you got other guys complaining about him. His rules, Tony, are worse than Coughlin's.
What are some of his rules?
Similar to the Coughlin's with the socks and all those other things, but there's just the play. Also, in 1995, no offense, but it was a different time then.
Oh, it was a different era.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so you could get away with some of that
in
stuff.
In other words,
now.
You're old school now, pal.
I mean,
there's no doubt about that.
And I said this the other day to somebody. Could you imagine, and this happened, I don't know if you probably remember, Udo, Vinnie Clark threatened to blow up my car on the park and at the practice field.
Yep.
Yelled it at me on the practice field. Could you imagine if that happened today?
It would be all over Twitter.
Right. So Tom's rules and regulations, which we got bits and pieces of when we write them, but it wasn't. Could you imagine on Twitter, though, if all the stuff that I had in my head that wasn't really a story, but what could be a tweet.
Oh, you just throw it out.
Right. He got Tony for wearing bad socks. He got somebody for wearing a T-shirt that wasn't.
I got fined for leaving the pregame meal too early. Not being late, leaving too early.
Marlo Sleroy got fined for the color of his suit.
Yeah, I got fined for not staying at the meal long enough.
Jurkovic used to get it for not having socks on all the time.
Yeah.
What about the guys that were in the car accident because they weren't on time?
Logman got it for wearing a bolo tie instead of a regular tie.
Oh, yeah, he did that on purpose.
He should have been fined for wearing a bolo tie.
Well, I agree with that, too. I agree.
That
deserved a fine.
Do you think that...
Shiano's getting fired.
Yes.
Are the Bucks talented enough that they could pull a Chiefs and turn it around in 1 year if you bring in the right coach and they go find the quarterback?
There's some talent on that team. I mean, you talk about I think the safeties are overrated. That's my personal opinion. I think they paid way too much for Goldston, who's a good player, but the bad pass coverage. You saw that yesterday, too. Barron, playing better, but he's a box safety. You got two box safeties in a league where you don't want any box safeties. The corner, you know, I think the kid from who's got Mercer, that's another thing that we're not even talking about. Oh, yeah. Mercer in the locker room. I mean, that's not on
Banks.
Tiano.
Banks is a good
player. Jonathan Banks, yeah.
He played yesterday after being diagnosed with Mercer.
Tough kid.
But Carl Nix did not.
No, he did not. Carl Nix is, you know, that's very serious stuff. Then Revis is good. You know, pass rushers.
For those people, by the way, who don't know what MRSA is, it's a resistant, it's an antibiotic resistant strain of staph. I can't pronounce it.
So if you just walk in and you say there's a fungus among us, everybody will get it.
Okay. But we should point out that the kicker, Lawrence Tynes, they had to perform surgery because it's resistant and actually physically scrape the bone.
You know who had
in
that,
order to take it out?
By the way, you guys might not.
It's a major deal. Kyle Brady?
No. I think Jeff Novak had it. Remember when they had to scrape his bone?
Yeah, that was a bad deal.
You remember that?
I do. And I do. I remember Kyle had one at one point while he was here, too.
Yeah. It's a very dangerous thing. But asking me about their talent level, I think there's talent on the team. And look at the wide receivers. Mike Williams and Vincent Jackson, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, got Doug Martin in the backfield.
Good player.
You have Carl Nix, if he can play. I mean, there's some talent on. Davin Joseph hadn't played that well, but he had, you know, he got hurt
last
year.
He's a good player.
But Donald Penn's a pretty good left tackle.
Yeah, good left tackle.
McCoy's a good player. Yeah. They drafted the kid Spence from and Levante David's a hell of a linebacker. They have more talent than this team. I'll tell you that right now.
That's why I say if could they put the right guy in there, they do a candidate? Not what Kansas City's done 6-0, but turn it around quickly.
Yeah, they can.
Because this was not a quick turnaround. No. That's the exact opposite.
Right, that's possible.
They had the banner flying over the stadium, too.
Yeah, the Tebow banner.
What is that? Same thing. They want him down there as well?
Yeah, good. Well, when you think about it, why not?
Do they have a standing rally with eight people every Monday?
I don't know.
Were there eight out there tonight?
There might have been like 12 today.
Yeah.
But actually, when you think about it, they don't have any. They're having more problems selling tickets. Jacksonville's outdrawing them 4 of the last 5 years. They're as close to Gainesville, almost, what is it, 90 miles away from Tampa, too? It's right
pretty
close.
Roughly.
Why not here? What? Because this is his hometown. Why not there?
I don't care.
Huh? No, well, nobody wants him. Nobody. Matt Flynn got signed today. Again.
Who signed him?
Buffalo,
yeah.
Well, they're desperate. They had Thaddeus Lewis.
Well,
and they did a pretty good job. They got to overtime with Thaddeus Lewis.
Yeah. That was a typical Bengals game yesterday, by the way. 24-10, get the ball back, hand it off twice, third down. Andy, 3rd and 11, go make a play. He doesn't make it. They punt. They go down 24-17, get the ball back, run it twice, third down, go ahead, make a play. Doesn't make it. The guy dropped the ball. And then next thing you know, you're
in Buffalo. Has to be pretty dang talented if they can get into overtime with Cincinnati.
If you really watch the game, Tony, it wasn't that close a game. They let him. You know how sometimes
hang around,
couple things rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Thaddeus Lewis is a pretty athletic.
He runs around. Yeah. He's made a couple throws.
And those guys, guys like that can make plays. And
they hit him a lot, boy. I tell you what, he got hit. That Bengals defense is pretty good. Bengals aren't bad. They play this week. They play at Detroit. That could be an interesting game.
That'd be a good game.
Grab a couple phone calls here. Craig is on the south side up next. Hello, Craig. Welcome to the show.
I just got to figure this out. Tony Baselli got fined for leaving a dinner early?
It was actually breakfast. A team meal before the game.
I didn't stay long enough. Somebody should have
It must not have been a good breakfast.
No, what I used to do is I'd get the Jeff Novak and myself, and back then it was Eugene Chung. I like to get to the stadium as early as possible. I had a routine. I just like to get all my stuff ready and then lay around and just kind of get ready for the game. And so we'd always eat either at the hotel or somewhere else before the pregame meal. Tom's rule is everyone had to go in the pregame meal at the same time. So you all showed up. We had already eaten, so we'd walk in and you'd say a prayer, and then we would leave because we'd already eaten. And go catch a cab to get this game early. We'd done it for like 5 weeks, and then one time it just must have ticked Tom off, and I got a letter in my locker that I've been fined. And so did Jeff, and so did Novak. So we walked down to Tom's office and says, "Why do we get fined?" And he says,
"Wow,
you didn't stay at the pregame meal long enough." What do you mean?
That's unbelievable.
I want you to sit with your teammates, and so then the rest of the time we grab a banana, sit down, eat the banana, and leave. 3 minutes later. So, I mean, it was crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, he also used to tell me what color socks I could wear. And I remember asking him one time when he was with the Giants when I was up there. I said, "Tom, What is what color socks I have to do with whether I block the defense or not? He goes, it doesn't. I don't like white socks. Okay? You're the head coach.
By
you
the way,
do what you want.
By the way, I will say this. I've done some of his games in one game in Dallas a couple years ago. I'm standing out there waiting for him. It's late. He's always the last one out of the locker room waiting for him because, you know, I got to see him and talk to him. And I'm watching this parade of players leave, and they're in sweatsuits. And he walks out, and I go, my gosh, you really have softened up a lot. And he looked at me. He goes, it's a night game. Did you guys travel in sweatsuits?
Heck no. Heck no.
All right. Appreciate the call, Craig. We're going to take a break. Final one of the evening. We'll come back and wrap up Jaguars Monday with Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, and you at 355-NFL1 here on Jaguars Radio. All right. One more segment with Pete and Tony here. Jaguars Monday every Monday. Not next Monday. Next Monday, Pete, you're solo.
I used to do that once in a while.
Yeah, you got Jeremy Ratliff in here. You'll have a good show.
Maybe
we'll be on.
We have to find a player. We'll have to find someone to take it easy on you so that you don't get dominated like I dominate you every week. And
you go home face bloodied off. And battered when you leave here. What are you talking about?
I've never lost to you.
Yeah, yeah.
In anything.
Every day.
Anything.
Every
anything.
2 hours.
Is there going to be a free throw shooting contest at some point?
It's not a free. We'll go to the 3-point line. I'm not going to give him and let him make little free throws.
I used to dominate you in the locker room.
No, you did. You were my deep throw. You're my source. I tell everybody. Novak tweeted me the other day. I said, no, Boselli was my deep throw. I tell Yurko, you're my deep throw.
I intimidated you constantly.
How many stories do you think over the years you gave me?
Zero.
No, at least 15.
No way. You're such a liar.
All right. It's time to move this conversation along.
Why do you make this stuff up?
Let's go to your stories. A little shameless self-promotion.
No, yeah.
No, it's a good story. CBSSports.com.
Oh, yeah, it's good for me. I... compared.
By the way, can you tell your website people to figure out? Because when the story he's talking about, he compared the 95 team to this team and positions, everything else. And I saw he tweeted it, so I was interested. So I went on my phone, my smartphone, and clicked the link, and it goes to their website. And nowhere on the website can you find the article that Pete wrote.
Not on the mobile platform.
No,
because I found it immediately.
Well, yeah, but the mobile platform. Can you tell your people that you know most people follow? On Twitter, on
your
their smartphone,
1975.
No, this is a brand new Samsung, brand new. And
he goes through phones like that. By
I
the
mean,
way.
My, break them?
Couldn't you? I mean, can't you get
Bam Bam?
Can't they figure that out, Pete? I mean, CBS isn't it a billion-dollar organization?
When I go down there this week,
tell them to figure it out. It's embarrassing.
I will.
I'm gonna stop following.
All right, let's go.
All
ready?
Right.
Quarterback. Brunell.
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 Henny. It's Brunell.
Brunell.
Running back. Stewart or Jones-Drew.
And Morris.
65.
I gave him the edge.
Career rushing touchdowns.
I gave him the edge. Lachey Mastin, or you say his name.
Taufo'o.
Taufo'o. Yeah.
I'll go with Taufo'o.
I'll tell you, Taufo'o right now is playing good football.
I went with Mastin.
It's a
Lachey was good as a
he
lead
was a
blocker.
Good. He was. But I'll say this. Everyone worried about losing Greg Jones?
Yeah.
Will Taufo'o is a good player.
All right, real quick, Mastin story. He called me over one day in the locker room, and he goes, man, don't put my name in the paper. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, don't put my name in the paper because Coughlin reads the names you put in there, and then he thinks that you're going to – he listens to you, and he cuts them. He told me that. Lachey Mastin.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Might be true.
Yeah. No.
I'm joking.
Givens and Cecil Shorts. That was old Givens.
Yeah, old Givens. I go young Cecil Shorts.
I went with Cecil.
Yeah.
You too?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Willie Jackson and Justin Blount.
Oh, come on. Sound close.
All right. Pete Mitchell, Mercedes Lewis.
Well, it depends what you want to do. If you want to catch the ball, Pete Mitchell. If you want to block Mercedes Lewis.
I gave it to Lewis.
I think Lewis is the overall better player.
By the way,
Pete Mitchell was a heck of a ball catcher.
But this guy has the club record for most touchdowns in a season.
I fudged
10.
On that one because Rich Griffin actually started more games than
Mercedes Lewis.
But Lewis has 10 touchdowns, which is tied for the
Mercedes
club
Mercedes
record.
Lewis.
Yeah. Okay, offensive line. You got to remove yourself from this one.
I'll recruit
Tony Boselli. I thought about going with Cameron Bradfield, but I went with you. Sean Bowens versus Will Rackley. It's closer than you think, and I went with a tie.
Really, you think it's closer? I mean,
who would you go with?
I'd go with Rackley because of the upside, even though he's been disappointing this year.
He hadn't played very well.
Yeah, but you just have to look at this year.
Yeah, it's this year.
I'll say I'll give it a tie.
Then that's a tie.
Okay. Dave Wydell versus Brad Meester.
Meester.
By the way, Meester starts his 200th career game, most in Jaguars history.
And Wydell just got Sunday. Pushed into the backfield again. Thomas Linsky. He hates when I say that. He hated when I used to write it. Thomas Linsky with Uche Nwaneri.
It's
Nwaneri.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tommy.
Milo's, he's a scrapper, though.
Yeah. DeMarco versus Pazder.
I'd say Pazder.
Up until
I'm
last,
I'm gonna let you judge it.
You know, right now, after the Bronco game, I might go Pazdor. Last week, I would have gone DeMarco. I thought
Pazdor did a good job pass blocking.
Yeah, I did too. I agree. I thought he was pretty good. Loggeman versus Babin.
Loggeman.
Okay. Pritchett versus Roy Miller.
Pritchett. A good player.
He was a good player.
He was just a
Don Davey versus Sendarek Marks.
I go to Marks.
That's what I did.
He's more.
We're agreeing. Smengi versus Alualu.
Smengi.
Yep. Mark Williams versus Geno Hayes.
Hayes.
I went with Hayes, too.
Hayes, I forgot about Mark Williams.
If you
James
can't
Williams
remember
started,
him,
and then Mark Williams played more games.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to test your loyalty here.
With versus Puzlesny.
Puzlesny.
Schwartz with
Puzlesny.
Yeah, but Schwartz was pretty good that
Schwartz
year.
Schwartz was great.
Then he got hurt.
Hurt his knee.
Yeah.
But Puzlesny is a very good
Gauguinus versus Russell Allen.
That's close.
Gogo is better than Russell
Allen. Yeah, I think Gauguinus is a
you
good
too?
Player. Yeah.
I'm going to call it a tie.
Okay. Vinny Clark versus Will Blackman.
Vinny Clark. Is this before or after he threatened to blow your car up?
This was that year, I think. He got cut the next year.
You know, Will Blackman has 9 or 10 passes.
Yeah, I gave it to Blackman.
I think Blackman's better.
Yeah. Okay. Mickey Washington versus Alan Ball.
Well, Mickey was a good player.
Mickey, well, I give it to Mickey.
Mickey, well, yeah, I would give it to Mickey, too, because he won that game in Cleveland with that
Mickey
pick.
Mickey was a good player, and he would have been here longer if he would have showed up for off-season program, but he didn't and got cut.
Mike Dumas versus Josh Evans.
Josh Evans.
Yeah, I gave it to Dumas. Based on going into last week.
So I guess you're not looking at upside.
Right. I'm looking at now.
Right this second. Dumas was a veteran player.
Right.
Smart player.
And Harry Colin versus Jonathan Cyprian.
Cyprian.
No. Colin was better.
Colin
was the MVP.
He had a big year that year.
Did he have a big year?
Yeah.
He was a really good player.
All right, Colin.
You must have taken a few shots in the head. You don't even remember what the teammates did.
Call League of Denial. Where are those people? I need help.
Well, in some ways, 1995 was forgettable.
And my bosses got mad because I left off specialists. I said, look, they're special teams players. We'll leave them off.
Yeah, you're so kind.
But based on that, there's more. You take more players from this team than the 95 team.
Was it equal? It was 11.
But if you're looking
it's
at.
It's closer.
I thought it was like a.
It was.
11-11?
11-10 and
in
one.
A tie? Yeah.
But you look at the safeties and you know.
You would, for the long term, you would take these two safeties.
Right.
But also, there's a couple of things at play here. Jimmy Smith was on that team. I didn't include him because he didn't play that year.
He
was special. So you talk about upside.
Yeah, he turned up.
He had pretty good upside
that
year.
But, you know, that game in Denver is where he really burst onto everybody's radar screen with the three touchdowns, three different ways. He had the block punt for a touchdown. He had the throwback touchdown. Remember, Desmond threw it to him, and he took it back.
Kick return.
And then kick return. And then he also had the touchdown pass from Mark. But then they didn't trust him because they signed Keenan and Andre Rison, they weren't quite sure that Jimmy would be what Jimmy was.
I try to tell that story because I still want to. I'm thinking about doing something on Jimmy for Thanksgiving. Go sit with him. It's a great Thanksgiving.
You know, every Sunday he tweets that he's sitting in church with his family.
Yeah, it's and I want to go sit with him and do it.
And his son's a heck of a football player.
And if he's, and
it
if
sounds
he,
like he's got
and
a
if he
big
talks,
time opportunity.
If he really talks about what he went through, it's a terrific story. I mean, he started in Dallas. You know, Mike Urban, that whole thing. Supposedly, he got caught up in all that. But truth be known, Tom didn't want Jimmy. Tom will sit here and have revisionist history on that, but I've been told from a bunch of different people that he wasn't one of the original 10, remember?
No, I remember that.
And Ronnie Hill, who was from Mississippi,
knew him.
Had to convince Tom to sign Jimmy.
Remember, he showed up. Jimmy wasn't even sure about coming here.
Tom won't admit that now, will he?
Jimmy wasn't even all that sure about coming here. Remember, his mom had to convince him to get on the plane.
Well, his mom had to convince him to come. Remember, she sent the scrapbook to Tom.
That brag book with him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, Jimmy.
It is a great. He's a great story,
and he wants to be.
He
wants
awesome
to
player.
Be reunited with his franchise. He wants to be on the wall with these guys where he belongs. Doing that story with you might start to clear the air up a little bit.
And if Jimmy will just
put him on the right path,
if Jimmy will just get his stuff together in his personal life, then he does belong there. But he's got to get that taken care of because being on that is more than just what you do on the field.
It shouldn't be though. But you can't embarrass yourself.
That's my point.
Yeah. If that's truly behind him.
I'm not saying like what you like charity or anything like that. I'm talking the overall character.
Okay,
like you can't be a detriment.
How you represent the franchise.
But he shouldn't be kept out for what he's done if he straightens himself out.
Absolutely. Right. I agree. No, we're saying the same thing. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. That's why I want him to get his stuff figured out for him and his family. But also because he does belong in there. He's one of the greatest players to ever put on a Jaguar.
How good could he have been if he had stayed clear of all that stuff? That's the scary part. Because he was fantastic. You talk to Samari Roll and all these corners about him.
They were all scared of him.
Everybody. I mean, he was, to those guys, he was in a Jerry Rice class for a while. They're terrified of him.
He was probably the best receiver in the AFC during that era.
Yeah.
My favorite game was the New Orleans game here in 1999, and most people forget about how dominant he was against that team.
He was incredible. He was incredible. Physical, big, fast, and can run.
That'll do it for the show, folks.
Combination.
Yeah. Find me more of those. Have a great night, everybody.